Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the time of salvation. A few minutes ago, we were informed that an American airline, 767, has crashed in New York into a residential section of Queens. With that in mind, let us listen carefully again to some of the words from the text. When people say that everything is safe and sound, destruction will suddenly strike them. They won't be able to escape. But brothers and sisters, you belong to the day and to the light, not to the night and the dark. Therefore, we must not fall asleep like other people, but we must stay awake and be sober. We must put on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. It was not God's intention that we experience his anger, but rather that we obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake in this life or asleep in death, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other and strengthen one another as you are doing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, everything was safe and sound. It was just 2 months and 1 day ago, and I was moving from Minneapolis to Chicago in an airplane. Nothing was said during the course of that flight, but it had happened, just like it happened a few minutes ago in New York. Then as I got onto the concourse in O'Hare, walking next to a man, he was listening to a cell phone, and he said, "Oh." I said, "What is it?" He said, "A plane has crashed into one of the World Trade Centers in New York." And I said, "An accident?" He didn't know. As we walked on, it wasn't a moment or two before there was another cell phone call, and he was told that there had been a plane crash into the second Trade Center tower. And we knew then that it was destruction that had struck. It was sobering to us in the airport as the cancellations came down. It was sobering as we looked at the television set and saw what was happening. Above all, it was sobering to me as I saw the people on the upper stories jumping for their lives from 110 or 105 stories in the air. And immediately I thought to myself, what is it that they have in their minds? What is the underlying plausibility structure for them? What is the ultimate understanding of reality for those people who are hurtling through the air? Because I know that during my lifetime, that plausibility structure has been several. I suppose when I was a boy, there were at least two. One is, man is the measure of all things. He can make and create and discover all things. The other one that was important to me is that God is the measure of all things. That he is the maker of all things, that he sets the standards in this world, and above all, that he was the only one that could keep the standards, that I couldn't keep them, but that his son Jesus Christ had kept them in my place. At that time, we were awakened as we are today again. It could happen at any time. That last day will come as a thief in the night. Things are not safe and sound unless we're in Christ. Then as the years went by, those answers, those underlying truths, those ultimate plausibility structures became many during the postmodern era. There was the New Age idea that somehow it was all there inside yourself. You just have to find it by meditation, or maybe a guru can help you. And then as you bring it out, everything is going to be fine. And above all, there was the idea that man, yes, especially American men and women, were the measure of all things. But our text tells us to be awake, to be sober. It says, leave the darkness and come out into the light. How does it describe the light? It describes it in three ways. It says that since we can't meet the standards, and only God meets the standards in Jesus Christ, that salvation shall be obtained and received only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, whatever the situation may be today, tomorrow, on that day, we need to wear that helmet, which is the hope of salvation, the absolute assurance that there is forgiveness of sins and everlasting life with Christ. And then the breastplate, the thing that keeps us on a daily basis, are two: faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love which we receive from Him, which we share and spread out to others. What's the results then? Since Jesus died for us, we live together with and for Him in this community here in the seminary. And as the circles from a rock falling into a pool of water go out, so it goes out from here and in our lives, through Paper Mill Bluff where we live, through the communities where you may live, where your parents live, where your friends live, and out through the world. Verse 11 of our text tells us, therefore encourage and strengthen each other. Don't tear each other down, but encourage each other. Strengthen each other. I think of several months before that in May when the tornado went through our part of town, and as we walked, as we do each morning, and we met people, we were able to encourage them. Just this morning with one of my neighbors, I talked about this business, about what plausibility structure is the real one. What I found, and someone has said, that postmodernism died on September 11th, or at least began to die. And it is somewhat true in my experience. People are no longer saying, you know, all those plausibility structures out there are all right for somebody. When you're coming down off of the top of that building, you're saying, which one is the real one? Which one is the answer? Which one is the truth? And so we as a community find ourselves now at a time when people may be more open to the answer, the truth, the way, the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know. It happened like that in the early church too. We think particularly of the Thessalonians. And I'd like to close by reading a section from 1 Thessalonians 1 as Paul reflects on what happened among them as they came to know Jesus as the Savior. Paul says this, I always thank God for you. Your faith is active. Your love is working hard. You imitated us and the Lord Jesus. In spite of a lot of suffering, you welcomed God's word with a kind of joy that the Holy Spirit gives. From you, Thessalonians, the Lord's word has spread out not only through the provinces of Macedonia and Greece, but also to people everywhere as they have heard about your faith in God. We stand for prayer. Dear God and Father, it is our privilege to receive the Word of God, that faith that the Spirit has worked in our hearts, and that helmet of the hope of salvation that is always ours. It is also our privilege to spread that Word in this post-modern world. And if, in fact, dear Lord, through these events, you are preparing people who for so long have had the many, many, many answers and felt they were all the same in value, to begin to ask, which is the answer? Who is the truth? Who is the way? Who is the life? Fill us with your Spirit and your words, that we may share that good news for Christ with many. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace, the peace, and the provisions for spreading that good word be ours, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.